Well, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I could be proven wrong, but I don't think I am. Not sure that anybody is right now on top of their sport in the last 4 or 5 weeks, like our next guest as we kick off the WPCA report coming out of the Rangeland Derby and the world-famous Calgary Stampede. The man who won both the aggregate and the dash for cash, the number one driver right now in the WPCA, Kurt Benzmiller, joins us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Third Rangeland Derby in the last 4 years. Why is this one different than the previous two?
I don't know. Just the previous two, we come in just kind of hoping if we got lucky enough that we could win it. And this one seemed, just by the way it set up in weeks prior, that if we weren't standing on stage by the end, I think it would have been all my fault.
Well, we talked as the season opened up, and you were kind enough to kind of explain the off season, and now, you know, here we are in the middle of the season. You won, I believe, High River, you won Pinoca, now you've won Calgary. What is working? Why the success right now, Kurt?
I think the rebuilding year last year really kicked in a lot quicker than everybody thought it was going to. And the horses just gelled quick, and I don't know, it just seems like they're all, the athletes are really at the top of their game at the perfect time.
What about, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, what about your outriders and the role they played here in Calgary over the past week?
Oh, yeah, like Sean Caffrope, Rory Jarvis, without them guys, you know, they were flawless. They haven't taken a penalty for me over the, you know, last few weeks, so they've been doing their job very well. And then I brought in David, my brother Benzmiller, just because Sean's arm was sore the last day, and I have a horse that's a little hard to handle, so we put David in there and worked out well for us for the last day.
Kurt, you know, it's one of the things that's kind of neat in this world in this day and age is the social media. And I know you've been, you know, kind of getting a lot of accolades and a lot of neat things. But can you just talk about maybe the last 48 hours or so since you won, some of the congratulatory messages, some of the things you've heard and seen?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of positive things. I mean, you get the normal guys that follow you religiously. And even on Twitter, you got Brian Sutter out there yelling yes, yes, screaming, you know, and doing his hand pump. And Ron McLean, how excited he was that he come back to the barn after. So some pretty big names outside of wagon racing are still following, cheering us on. So it makes the guy feel real good.
I had to laugh. I believe it was Brent Kissio that put out the video of Brian, and I thought that was really cool. It's part of the community, though, too, right? Like, you're all part of a community.
For sure, yeah. No, it doesn't matter if they just want one guy or not. They're all enthusiastic about the wagons themselves and the sport, so it's just nice to have support across the board.
Kurt Benzmiller is our guest now, the South Street Burger Guest Hotline, WPCA Insider Report. Let's talk specifically about Calgary because it is such a different event. Looking back at it, I know I asked you what was different about this win as opposed to the previous, but what was the week like? I mean, you had that whole unique scenario of hot weather and then that one bad day and you get a day rained out. But how unique was this week for you or these 10 days in Calgary?
Oh, well, the weather, I mean, played a huge factor for all of us trying to make sure everybody, you know, all the horses were happy and healthy. It's a lot of heat in one area in a short amount of time, right? You know, day in, day out. But I don't know, that everybody just seemed to be gelling. I mean, the barn crew really looked after the horses, and it was just an exciting feeling to be able to be where we're at by the end of the show. It just kind of kept playing out slow and steady. We were, well, I shouldn't say slow. We were steady.
Yeah.
All the way through. And then we jumped to the top of the aggregate about day six and just safetied up for the last 2 days so that we'd be fresh enough to have a good shot in semifinal Saturday and then win it Sunday.
Okay. So two things you said there, because part of what we want to do here is educate some people. When you say safety up down the stretch, you're just trying, what are you doing?
Well, I went to the outside barrel, so there was no need for me to really push it and push the envelope and skin the barrels real tight or turn them real hard or anything like that. It was just go a little higher, park a little further back on your barrel and just make the good, safe turn so you don't have to worry about penalties and come running around the outside of them guys, because we had a big enough lead that we didn't have to push the envelope at all, you know, on taking penalties.
And the other part, and it was, maybe I went in the wrong order here, but you also talked about the horses and the heat. What do you have to do, Kurt, in a situation like that where, you know, for Calgary, this was really hot for most of this. What did you do to make sure they were taken care of?
Well, we bathed them a couple times a day. We also have, well, I guess in our barn alone, we had 6 42-inch fans and 4 or 5 misters in each alleyway just to make sure. So the barn's were very cool. When you walked in there, that's where everybody wanted to try to hang out. Like, even any people or public fans, friends or family that showed up at the Barns at any time, that's where they all wanted to get inside, because it was like it was very cool and comfortable inside, right? So they ran basically 24 hours a day, with the exception of when we actually went to race and needed out of the alleyways. So we had them cooled down.
Did you change any of your routine, though? I mean, you kept them cool, but did you maybe not work them as hard, you know, in practice or anything like that? Was there any routine change for you?
No, because when the only time you get to practice there, I mean, they get to come out of the barn just to get out and stretch out and stuff like that as we walk them around between that 8 and 10 o'clock. So it wasn't too bad. And any time we practiced in the morning, I think it was always around 6 o'clock. So the weather was pretty good for us, you know, for warming up and practicing anyway.
Last week, first time ever that anybody can remember, a day was scrubbed. What was that like from your, you know, position watching that happen?
Well, it was crazy because we were ready to go, and then that storm rolled in. We had the horses harnessed and bridled, and we were just waiting for the next heat to go on the racetrack, and you couldn't even hardly get out of the barn. It was just pouring and hailing, and the lightning, and the lights went out. And even actually getting onto the racetrack for us, where we parked on the 4 furlong chute, was a problem, because we went down there and tried to lift the manhole covers off just to get the water out, and it was up over our knees, and it was coming out of the manhole because they were all so full, right? So it was a lot of variables that made it not happen. I mean, if in the end, if they could have found a way to run, I definitely would have been on stage. We'd have been, our last three heats there would have been 6 or 7 seconds slower than the guys that ran in the front. So it would have been like we all took barrels and more.
So you were cool. There was no problem with the decision that was made.
Well, no. For safety reasons, I mean, the track had started to wash out and had ruts across it.
Yeah.
There was no lights on the racetrack for us to see, you know, and it was getting darker and muddier. So the two times we need light, we didn't have it. So, I mean, it was the right call for wagon racing as far as safety and sport-wise, right? So Calgary made the right call.
Speaking of safety, I know that a lot has been made of the fact that you won the Dash for Cash. You also mentioned you won the aggregate, but a couple other awards in there, the safety award and the equine outfit of excellence champions. What are those two? I mean, those ones don't necessarily get the publicity, but what do those last two mean to you?
Oh, they mean a lot. I mean, that safety award, to be able to win that, being penalty free after 10 nights there, it's a gruel, right? Because anything can happen. I mean, even if somebody else messes up on their barrel and comes near your guy and they have to go around or anything like that, then you get your accumulated penalties, even though it had nothing to, like, it wasn't their fault, you know, outriders or myself. So to be able to hold it together that long, we've actually been a penalty free a couple times there, but they only give it to the fastest guy. So to actually win it this time meant a lot. And then the equine one, I wish they could do all the horses there, because it's the only time the athletes actually get recognized as an equine performer, and we got 10th Power on as the right wheeler, so he that's a cool thing for him. The picture will go up beside his stall there in the barn like the rest of them. And I don't know, it's really a real cool award, because it's the first and only awards that we have for them horses.
The other, and I mentioned the Dash for Cash, but the other one is the fact that you won the aggregate as well, the Richard Cosgrave Memorial. What, you know, that's to me consistency. That to me, you know, the Dash for Cash is why you're there, but to be able to win that and the Dash, that's pretty special.
Oh, yes. I mean, in wagon racing, they talk about the Triple Crown, which is Pinoca Stampede, and then the aggregate, and then Calgary in the Dash. So, I mean, for us to pick up all of them, it's just, years like this don't happen very often. So when they do, it's hard to explain, because you don't know. I mean, this is what you dream about your whole career is to be able to win these shows and to get them all back to back is a feat in itself. So it just makes it's just hard to explain.
In conversation, Kurt Bensmiller is our guest on the Sudsbury Burger guest hotline in the WPCA Insider Report. Before we leave Calgary, also on Sunday, the King said goodbye. Kelly Sutherland said goodbye to the Stampede and the Rangeland Derby. What does it mean? What does he mean to the sport? What does he mean to you?
Oh, he's meant a lot to the sport. He's one of the biggest reasons that the sport is where it is today. You know, he's put a lot of time and effort and the championships that he's won. I mean, you only get so many elite guys up there that have won so much, and that's why Calgary seems to be repeat winners for a long time until somebody finally cracks that next level of driving or performing, and then all of a sudden they're in that elite and they're in the hunt or winning it off and on over the next, you know, over their career. But Kelly's been one of them guys that's been consistent and steady, and he always found a way to win. So to lose him in the sport, it's gonna hurt him. It's definitely time, as he's put in his time. I mean, 50 years in anything is enough time to leave it. He's leaving the sport better now than when he got into it, for sure. And I was just happy. I said it a few years ago when I raced him in the Dash. He beat me the very first time I was in the Stampede Dash, and then I beat him the next time he was in it. So it was nice to win something like this while he's still there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Crosby performing against Gretzky, or, you know, like, just, it's nice to have them guys still around. Maybe they're not at their peak, but they're still competitive.
But it's and I think we can all appreciate it. It's meaningful to race your heroes. It's meaningful to be around your heroes and that generation that came before. Now, a little extreme because, you know, he stays in it till 65. Could you stay in this till you're 65?
I don't know. I would like to think so, but I don't know. It's quite a feat in its own just to stay here till you're 65 and be doing it for 50 years. Let no one do it as competitive as Kelly did, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you if I was going to stay till 65.
And he wins his last race in this situation. He wins the last one at Calgary. That's kind of cool too, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, he tries every night he goes. He's always in it, you know, to try to win it. But every night that he wins, I'll bet you it means more to him than most guys.
Yeah, it's a fantastic story and really kind of a cool part of what was a great weekend and a great 10 days in Calgary. Kurt Benzmiller is our guest down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline, WPCA report. What now? I mean, you don't go to Bonnyville you actually have time off, but do you have time off? What do you do between now and the next race?
Well, I gave the two hired men I got there, a cousin and a nephew, so I gave them time off. So it's just me manning the fort now for the next few days, and then the wife really would like to go to the lake. You know, we bought a boat a few years ago and only use it 3 days a year kind of deal. But I don't know, that's kind of the course. I'm going to take the second outfit on now for the last half of the year as Colt Cosgrave retired and so did Lane Bremner. So we just had a couple spots to fill.
Right.
So they went down the line and I'm going to take one of them spots. So I have a lot of driving to do to get some of them other horses ready for Bonnyville.
So can you explain that to me? Are you going to race two wagons? Or are you racing another set of horses? What do you mean that now that they retire?
Yeah, like I'll race two. Kurt Benzmiller will go twice a night. I'll be in the first heat with a non-point wagon.
Okay.
And then I will be in the last heat with the wagon that counts for points.
Okay.
Both can still earn money and win a show, but only one gets the points to count for the world.
Oh, I'm about to ask the dumbest question I've asked on this, but I have to anyway, Kurt. Is there a scenario in which you would race yourself?
Yeah, for sure. In Dawson Creek, if I was fortunate enough, I guess if I either run the same slowness or the same fastness, they would be together.
Okay.
So just on the redraw. The rest of them, the points are what decides it going in.
Right.
And the new outfit would never be able to catch the other outfit, no matter how I did.
Okay. And is this...
Which has happened in the past.
Okay.
I 1 year when Dad broke his hand, I drove two outfits in Dawson Creek, and I got them both in the Dash. So then that was the first day Dad was back after 3 weeks off of a broken hand. And he drove one of mine, and I drove the other one.
So you never, ever had to answer the question, what if? Because your dad was back. If you had gotten that situation, he wasn't back, which one do you race, right? Like, would you?
Yeah, they'd make me drive the pointed outfit.
Okay.
No matter what.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is kind of crappy in a sense, because if I got the good barrel with the other outfit, I'd want to take my main horses off there to try to win the show, right? But no matter what, you'd have to take your point outfit is the one that they make you mandatory drive. And
sure.
I'd have to swap out the other one.
Now, and again...
I'd just get Jordy Fike to drive.
Okay. So, yeah, there is a backup. And then, dumb question number two, is this just for the rest of this season, or does that spot get filled next year by somebody else?
Well, right now it's just for the rest of the season, but we'll have to go back and see how many guys we have enter and if we have guys in runoff and see if we're back up to the 36 wagons that we normally carry. With sponsorship and the economy, guys are just still kind of on the fence on what exactly they want to do, because even in winter when you go get your job so that you can support the wagon racing, it's kind of been a little wishy-washy, so guys are a little more careful before they commit to the season. It costs a lot of money for us to hold these horses and train them and stuff before we actually even get down the road.
Well, then that was the next question I was going to ask. Even in the short term, are you essentially doubling your costs?
Yeah, well, not overly. I pack 26 to 28 head normally, so I pack five full outfits and six outride horses.
Okay.
So as far as that goes, what's going to end up happening is I'm going to take a few back for my brother Chance.
Yep.
Who used some of them. He had them on in Calgary as well, so I got to take some of them back for my main outfits. He's got them going good anyway, and then I'll use them and some of the new ones and just kind of put so that everything's been in races by the end of the year.
Very cool. He is Kurt Benzmiller. He's our guest on the WPCA report. Just won Calgary and getting set for Bonnyville in a couple of weekends. And did I hear you right? So you're the only one working? Like, you just won, but you're the only one where everybody else has got time off. You have yet to take time off. Is that right?
Well, these kids gave up their Easter break. They gave up everything because I had trouble with hired men off and off this spring. So they were here every weekend. They gave up all their time and then all summer long. And they finally get off of school. Now they wake up earlier and work all day. So they, I told them they could have a day off. They fought me a little bit, but not too hard. They said they'd maybe even take shift, but I just told them that they could take both take the first day off here, first couple of days. And they're pretty young, so 14 and 16. They're excited.
Give me a little bit of, because we're talking about family here, but you know, you won on Sunday, and that was your dad's birthday. When you won High River, that was your mom's birthday. I mean, there's nothing but family ties to this season for you, Kurt. It's been really cool, I would imagine, to share all of these moments on meaningful days with your family.
Oh, yeah. It just makes it that much more special. I think when Dad won it in 89, his second time winning Calgary, it was his birthday on July 16th, and he came off the two-barrel, ran two wide on Richard Cosgrave, Dallas Dorchester, and George Norman, and then that's exactly what I did, obviously against different competitors, but
sure.
On his birthday, to the date, everything was the exact same, got the two-barrel, and ran around them guys two-wide to win the same show, so it was like there was a lot of similarities, which was kind of made it more special for all of us back there at the Barnes.
Your sport, and we talked about this week one, but it may as well revisit it right now. Your sport is a little unique because Calgary, for many reasons, is the biggest stop on the tour, yet the tour continues. You have four more events. How do you approach Bonnyville, Strathmore, Dawson Creek, Rocky Mountain House? Is this the backside of the mountain? Are you building towards something? What keeps you going in the final four events?
Well, I think because of this position we are in the world, it'll help amplify the last part of the season. I was kind of a little ways out of it the first time I won Calgary, so you kind of get that weird feeling. It would be like after you win the Stanley Cup, then going to practice for the next week.
Yeah.
You know it. So it's like, well, you're not that deep into it anymore, right? Like it's hard to stay invested. But I mean, with the World Championship coming up and some big shows still for us and that I haven't had the opportunity to win. I mean, make no mistake, we're going to win them all, but it's just makes it a little tougher to stay as dialed in, I think, when you have seasons that peaked at the perfect time for us.
Yeah, and it's kind of difficult to do this conversation because I should be asking you kind of season wrapping ending questions, but you still have time ahead. But let me ask you this one, and I think you kind of alluded to it. You've won Calgary before, but with the aggregate, with Pinoca all tied in, with all the connections family-wise, has this been your best season in your eyes?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I don't know if I could ever have a season like this, and I mean, I hope we're not done, and
yeah.
I hope with the lead we have right now that we can hold everybody off to win the world as well. So if we can pick up a last, you know, one of these last four shows or whatever, and definitely get that world, it would she'd be a season to remember, because I don't know of too many times that this has happened where a guy's got lucky enough to win this many in a row and this many the biggest ones that you could win, as well as the world, right? That's our biggest things to win, and right now I've got lucky enough to get them so far.
Last one for you, and I'll go back to one of the things we talked about, all the people that sent their wishes and everything, but you mentioned Ron McLean came back and saw you. What? I mean, I'm a big Ron McLean fan. Everybody knows who Ron. What was it like having him come back and seek you? Because he loves, like, people have to appreciate, he really loves this. He loves this event. He loves being here.
Oh, yes. I mean, Ron brings back a case of Bud Light every time he comes with a note for me if he catches me or if he doesn't catch me, And then he caught me on right after I won the aggregate. I ended up walking through the barn, and he was like, oh, you know, because he's a hockey guy, he was superstitious and didn't think that would be a good thing that we got to talk beforehand, but said he was going to be back no matter if I won or not. We got to hang out with him from when they did hometown hockey in Calgary again last year, and then they did it in Lloyd this year, so he took me on air and got to hang out with him after. So, I don't know, I keep up with Ron as much as I can. I mean, his schedule is crazy, and he's gone all over, right? But it's just nice to have guys like that in your corner, you know. It makes the guy feel good because they got a lot of things, and they do a lot of events and cover a lot of stuff, and they're just a wealth of knowledge, so it's nice to have them on your side.
Well, Kurt, congratulations. What we know of coming out of this stampede is that there will always only be one king, but you are certainly the champ, and nobody's done more this season than you have. Keep it up. Best of luck. Congratulations, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the line.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Kurt Benzmiller joining us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. South Street Burger, introducing the barbecue bacon burger, 100% Angus beef with real cheddar, jalapenos, 40 Creek whiskey barbecue sauce, better burgers, fries, and shakes. That's a guy on a roll. That's a, right there is a lesson, kids. I mean, there's a lot going right in his world. And it's a different world. Like, everybody else gets the time off, but Kurt's working. But, you know, and I'm glad I thought he was really honest about it. And it's the way the WPCA operates, but their biggest event is really almost the middle event. Mm-hmm. Not quite, but close. You know, Pinoca, Calgary are your, you know, essentially two of your bigger events.
And now they're back to back.
Right. And now there's four more to go. And he admitted it. Like, you know, it's like playing the Stanley Cup and then going back to practice. I'm glad he admitted it. I mean, it has to be that way. Not to take anything away from Bonnyville or Strathmore or any of these places. They're great events. But Calgary's that unique, that big 10-day event, the big money, you know, all the attention.
It does feel like it should be at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, it is in the middle, and he talked about the kind of unique opportunity for him. He's going to race two outfits down the stretch.
And you thought that, please tell me you thought the same thing. What happens if you...
Yeah, I was like, what about when they're both in heat 9? Then what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
One hand in each wagon? And...
He could do it. I'm pretty sure he could do it. It'd be like a scene out of Ben-Hur.
And then you asked him about his best season. I mean, 2015, he won the Derby as well, obviously. Yeah. And he also won the aggregate that year, too.
Yeah.
And was a world champion. But he said, no, this is no question, been my best season. You mentioned the Triple Crown. Big accomplishment for him. It's very rarely happens. And it's been a nice couple of weeks for Kurt Benzmiller, but you're right. It's kind of unique how the big showcase event that everybody talks about and, you know, falls right in the middle of their calendar. And now he's got four more events to go through, and he's going to race two outfits and obviously work his way now towards the world title. He's got a pretty nice lead in the world standings.
So you're looking around and you've been, you know, chasing Kurt Benzmiller for the last month, chasing him. And now he's going to have a second wagon. What the hell's going on here? Weekend off. Bonnyville Chuck Wagon Championship comes up July 27th to 30th up in northern Alberta. And I know that'll be a big event. But also Strathmore. I don't want to forget Strathmore. August 4th to 7th, Strathmore Heritage Days. That's also a really big event. So you may, you know, keep that in mind if you're saying to yourself, geez,
I wish I could have caught the stampede.
Strathmore's right in our backyard. So you can get more information, WPCA.com. Thanks to Kurt Benzmiller, who won the aggregate, most importantly, won the Dash, the Dash for Cash, also picked up the had a horse on the Excellence Championship list and the Safety Award, which is pretty cool. No penalties over that time, and still was able to be as dominant as he was. Nobody, but nobody hotter in their individual sport right now, I would say, than Kurt Benzmiller. We'll take a break still to come. He is the executive director of the CFLPA, Brian Ramsey. Great initiative to help out football players. We'll tell you about that, in about 20 minutes' time. Lots to do this afternoon. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.